We're learning this evening, this is Chos for Refuah Shleima for Rav Elazar Meir Ben Basia, Rav Taitz, who should be Refuah Shleima, Rabbi Kalimer in West Hempstead, Yehuda Ben Rifkalea, who's recovering from an accident, a very serious accident last week, for Shendel Bas Peril, who is in a difficult situation right now, and for Tamara Dina Bas Kina Shulamis, who was a mother of a child who, Rachman al-Etzlan, was killed last week, and she herself is in need, also need of Rachmei Shamayim. So we hope that, as we learn about tefillah, so Mirat Hashem, it should be have a hesorus in our own tefillos, and it should be a schus for not only these cholim, but all the Shar Choli Yisrael, and Mirat Hashem, we shouldn't have to daven for any more cholim. We move on tonight to Berchos HaShachar. And the source, actually probably helpful, the source for this, for these brachos, or at least some of them, is a Gemara in Brachos. And the Gemara lists an order in which we wake up in the morning at every step of the way, right, to get us into the mood of expressing Hakaras HaTov. We're supposed to make a bracha. Kishama kol tarnagola, when a person wakes up in the morning, the Gemara tells us, and I hear the crow of the rooster. Leima baruch asher nasan lasech vivina lahavchin ben yom uvein laila. That we thank Hashem for giving, the common explanation is to the rooster, lasech vi, to the rooster, bina, knowledge, insight, wisdom, to be able to differentiate lahavchin bein yom uvein laila, the difference between day and night. And then we have others, kipas achene, when a person opens their eyes, leima baruch pokeach ivrim, the Hashem opens up our eyes, allows us to see. A wonderful bracha. Otherwise, imagine living on a dark day, you don't even know that the sun is up and the rooster doesn't know to crow, but you can see that it's dark, it's gray outside. Kisaritz v'yasev, when a person is able to sit up in bed and they're able to lema, they say baruch matir asurim. Kilavish, when a person gets dressed, lema baruch malbish arumim, that we have the opportunity to have clothes to dress ourselves, etc., etc. And the Gemara in Menachos actually lists some other brachos that are not included in the Gemara in Brachos that we do find when we open up the Siddur, the bracha of Shelo Asani Goy, although the Gemara says Sha'asani Yisrael, right? It's negative. The Gemara Menachos tells us, we'll get to this later, that Hashem made us a Jew, and so we say a bracha that, thank you Hashem for not making me a non-Jew, an Eino Yehudi. Shelo Asani Goy. The Gemara Menachos continues, Shelo Asani Isha, that we say, and Shelo Asani Bor, that Hashem didn't make me like an Eved. So it's important to note that all of these brachos are in the present tense, right? Shenasan lasech vivina lahavchin, right? The rooster, I'm responding to the reality that the rooster is crowing. So I just heard it, my immediate response. I thank Hashem for opening my eyes. I just opened my eyes. Now I thank Hashem. I just got dressed. As I'm getting dressed, everything is present. The only exception, if you have those of you who have a sitter in front of you, so you'll see, Shasoli called Sarki. Asa, Hashem did. He's already prepared all of my needs. So why is this? And furthermore, Kol Tzarki is a very broad statement, right? Shasoli called Sarki, Hashem has taken care of all of my needs. We know that if we look around in shul, or we think about certainly the cholim for whom we're davening and learning for tonight, not everybody's needs are met. We have needs that some of them are bakashos that we intend to daven for in the context of Shemona Esrei. So why? How could we say sincerely we're starting our day seemingly on a little bit of a dishonest stance? Is that how we're supposed to start off our soliloquy, our dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rabbi Twersky brings down a story from Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha says, Hashem knows what we need more than we do. And he quotes Rav Baruch of Mezhebezh. There's a tefillah that some say before Kiddush on Friday night. Very lengthy tefillah. It's called Ribon Kol HaOlamim. Beautiful, beautiful tefillah. For those who include bakashos in their tefillos on Shabbos, so they say harachamans and benching, in other words, throughout davening, and even the Haftorah. So there's a beautiful tefillah included. It's about halfway through. And Avram Fried actually turned this into a song probably 10 to 15 years ago. Beautiful niggun, composed by Yossi Green, of course, as some of the best songs are. And the words are, Moda ani lefanecha, so we thank Hashem, al kol hachesed asher asisa imadi, on all of the loving kindness, all of the goodness that you've done for me. And it's such an appropriate time as we gather around the Shabbos table, we're sitting down, we're ready to make Kiddush, and we look back for a second, and we think, we take stock of what happened this week. Rabbi Rav Willig encourages his Talmidim to do the same when you get to Nishmas. And you talk, there's so many layers, and praise on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praise upon praise upon praise. So here we have an opportunity, thank you Hashem on all the kindness that you did for me. It may be limited to, what chesed did Hashem do for me this week? Do we think about that before we make Kiddush? And that enhances our appreciation of Shabbos, and really puts a nice bookend to the week. But he doesn't stop there, he continues. V'asher ata asid la'asos imi. And that kindness that Hashem is going to do for me. So not only do I take stock, am I appreciative and grateful that I had a great week, and maybe it could have been better, and sure there were pitfalls, and things happened along the way that I regret, or that I wish would have happened, or would have gone differently. And for those, okay, we need to prepare for next time. But there would certainly, each of us, as difficult as the week was, we can always find a glimmer of chesed that Hashem did, even if it's only waking up in the morning and being able to sit at a Shabbos table and to be able to be mekadesh haShabbos is a schus, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So even if the rest of your week was horrible, rotten, terrible, you want to forget it and you never want to relive it or think about it ever again, and we have weeks like that, we still have Shabbos. We still have that schus. And we have the chesed that Hashem did for us. And with that appreciation, now we can know, when we can be confident and hopeful, I know you're going to do it again. And that gives me a little sense of joy on Shabbos. V'asher ata asid la'asos imi. I say that with confidence. I know that you're going to continue to bestow kindness upon kindness on me. And sometimes, though, we don't recognize that it's chesed in the moment. Maybe in the hustle and bustle and the routine and all the responsibilities and errands and chores that we run during the week, we don't have time to pause for a second and to think about, you know, that actually turned out nicely. Or maybe if nothing turned out, you know, I haven't been appreciative of the fact that I made it to Shabbos. Right? Even if a person, Chas V'Shalom, is sitting Shiva, right? You can't get a more difficult Shabbos than that. And you don't feel that sense of oneg. And there's still a sense of avelus over Shabbos, at least bifarhesia. I mean, and bitzina. But at home, you don't sing this miro. So how do you reach that level? So maybe you don't say this tefillah when you're in avel. But I think even an avel is able to take stock, you know, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. And that person, Rachman al-Itzlan, is not. But Hashem did a chesed for me. He gave me another Shabbos. And if Yirtzeh Hashem, he's going to give me another Shabbos. And I'll be able to be mezakeh my loved one. And I'll be able to help somebody when I get up from Shiva. And I'll be able to be a better person. And that's a very powerful idea. So we can't say it. We can't say the bracha of Sha'asa, Sha'osa li kol tzarki. Because maybe we don't have an opportunity this morning to be able to think about what Hashem did for us. We don't always reflect back and think, oh, it's positive, until we're able to see it in the rearview mirror and we have hindsight that something worked out for the best. I had an experience recently where something challenging happened, and it was actually the same exact challenge that I encountered the week before. And I was talking to Yael and I said, what is Hashem trying to show me? Putting me in the same exact situation with the same consequence. What am I going through this for? What's the toelis? What's the purpose? What am I supposed to gain from it? And then 3.5 hours later, it worked out better than it would have had those two other things have happened. So in the moment, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I wake up, and maybe, you know, for sometimes it takes 3.5 weeks or 3.5 years to see the positive. So in the interim, I can't say she'osali kol tzarki, because I feel like, Hashem, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to achieve this, and it's not happening. So you're not doing it for me. I can't say that honestly. But I know in the past you've done things. So at least that I can say sincerely. We all can acknowledge that something has happened in the past, Hashem has taken care of us. So now we see it's true. She'osali kol tzarki, there was that thing that Hashem took care of me. And I know that there's going to be that thing again today. Among all of the brachos, before we get into Asher Nasan Lasechvi, Lasechvi Vina, there are two that are conspicuous in their absence. There's no bracha for our ability to speak. Why is that? You ever think about that? If there's a bracha for getting dressed, and there's a bracha for sitting up, and there's a bracha for putting my shoes on, there's a bracha for the rooster being able to crow and to know the difference between day and night. That's a pretty... We're thanking Hashem for such a primitive, basic thing. An animal can do it. So I'm not thanking Hashem for that which differentiates me from the animal kingdom, my ability to speak with intellect, with bina, with chachma, with seichel. Why not? So I heard from Rabbi Eitan Feiner, who's the Rav of the White Shul, whose shiurim are phenomenal. As long as I need to listen to them slowly. I actually prefer his writings. He's such a Talmud Chacham. It's like trying to drink from a fire hydrant. He just has so much Torah to share. So you chop a little bit at a time. So he says the bracha of Elokai Neshama is actually when we thank Hashem for our ability to speak. What defines humanity? What defines men and women? Ish v'isha? It's the Neshama expresses itself through the power of Dibur, the Koach HaDibur, the power of speech. Unkula says that man becomes a spirit that can speak. And that separates us, it differentiates us from the rest of the creations that Hashem brought into this world. The Ruach Memalala, the bracha, when we think about, we thank Hashem for giving us our neshama, is really the bracha that we spoke about last week. That is the bracha in which we express our shevach v'hodah, our appreciation, our gratitude, and our thanks for being able to speak, because that is the neshama that gives us the ability to be different. Shelo asani goy. What about that bracha? Maybe we'll hold off on that. Gemara's machlokas about that lasted for many years. Is it better to have been created, or is it better to have not been created? And they go back and forth. Yesh omrim, it's better not to be created. Why? What do you think? Why would it be better not to be created?
We suffer very much.
We suffer.
I mean, is it a general thing, we or specific people?
Is it better for people not to have been created, or better for people to have been created? So you say that we suffer. And the suffering, we think about the cholim that we're learning for tonight, and there's chus, they're suffering. And if you were to ask them, in the midst of your suffering, in the darkest, most painful moments, would you prefer to be here, or would you prefer not to go through this struggle right now? And you could hear some people who at the end of their lives are suffering terribly. They might say, you know, I'm better off not being here anymore. And maybe I was better off not having been born the whole time. Is it really worth it right now? But why is it worth it? What's the other tzan of that machlokas? To praise Hashem, the mitzvos. Hashem gave us chiyus, He gives us life, He gives us a neshama, so that we should be able to be mekayim mitzvos, and we know that that is the most powerful, most incredible opportunity that any creature ever has. And it's the best life that we have, to be able to live a life of Torah and mitzvos, to be able to open up a sefer, and to be able to get a little closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand how He operates, why He operates, how things happen. So we have suffering on one side, and we have the opportunity, zechusim, on the other. I would clarify the machlokas a little bit. It's not the suffering that makes it not a good idea, not worth it to have been born, Because we know that usually, not always, but usually, as far as we can understand it, suffering and Yisurin are a result of our own actions, our own behavior. Hashem punishes us, better to be punished on Olam Hazeh than to have to worry about settling the score somewhere else, in Olam Haba, and after 120. That's why I said sometimes. So, it's really our choice, right? What the Gemara is expressing is this struggle that we have on a daily basis. We talk to, you know, when we talk to younger children, we tell them about choices. You have a choice to make. Hashem tells us, you make the choice of life. What does that mean? It means that when you have a choice between doing a mitzvah and not doing a mitzvah, when you have a choice of being mevatel zman or learning Torah, when you have a choice between doing an avera and maybe sur meirah, not doing anything and just sitting on your hands until that taiva, that desire to commit the avera passes, that's a hard choice for us. And what the Gemara is saying is that every single person that ever lived in the history of the world has made a mistake. They've slipped up. We've committed an avera. So every day, perhaps multiple times a day, probably multiple times a day, we have this choice. And it's difficult for us to live in this tension that always exists. Whether it's machalas asuros, whether it's dibur, the speech that's forbidden, eating food, going places, missing a minyan or a davening or a learning. There's so many opportunities to see something that we shouldn't look at, to do something against somebody else that we're really angry. There's so many opportunities. And so that tension is not something that we enjoy. It doesn't make us feel good. It makes us, we have to be cognizant of Dalef Nemiata Omeid, Shavisi Hashem Negdi Tamid, but it's hard to always be on your best. And so for some, I don't want it. I don't need this chosim. I don't want to live a life of struggle. And so the Gemara goes back and forth. And finally the Gemara says, Nimnu V'gamnu, they finally concluded, better not to be created. The Marsha says, it's not merely that they, one day, somebody got up and asked for a show of hands in the Electoral College, is it better to be born, or whoever thinks it's better to be born, raise your hand, say yay, you know, yay. And those who think it's better not to be born, say nay. And then, okay, the yays have it, the nays have it. That's not the way it went. The Marsha says that there are 365 lavin, prohibitions in the Torah. There are 248 mitzvot asay. So if that's the case, let's look at the human body. You have ramach versus shisa. It's statistically more likely that we're going to sin. Because there are 365 different ways we could, every day of the year, solar year, we could come up with a new way to do an avera without repeating it. Versus mitzvos, there aren't as many. So if you were to look at what behavior am I more commonly going to be engaged in, we're more likely to sin and slip up. And so Nimnu V'Gamru is not a popularity contest. We're not interviewing people who are sick, but rather, we just look at the facts. There's just more opportunities to make a mistake, to choose poorly, than to choose well, to choose right, to choose chayim. And so, in particular, we slip up when it comes to speaking. Of Lashon Hara, it's one of the Sheish Lechiros. There's a powerful medrash when the Pasuk says, Nasa Adam, Hashem says, we're going to create man. And there's a medrash that says that Hashem was consulting with the Malachi Hasharis. And there were different midos, different malachim, and the malach of Emes. And Hashem's fighting one against the other. Ah, they're not going to do this. And Emes stands up, Hashem, they're not truthful. And sometimes we say things that maybe aren't 100% true, or maybe they're subject to interpretation. Even if we're a person of MS, the Gemara even says sometimes not telling the truth is sanctioned for the sake of Shalom Bayis, for the sake of not boasting about our learning. There are times when we can bend the truth. And the angel of MS gets up, Hashem, we're perfect. Why do you have to give the Torah to them? Why do you have to create them? They're going to mess up. They're going to write it into their Gemara that it's mutter to not speak the truth sometimes. So right now the world is perfect. Why would you do this? So the Chafetz Chaim says, we're better off if we wouldn't speak. We don't have a bracha for it. Because Nimnu v'gamru, just like it's better not to be born, maybe it's better not to be able to speak. Maybe we could do mitzvahs without dibur. And so we're not always proud. We don't thank Hashem for creating us a Jew because it's not to our statistical advantage, and we don't thank Hashem for the koach hadibur because we misuse it so often. And there's also no bracha for hearing, right? Because we hear things sometimes that we shouldn't hear. And we accept it. And that impacts our behavior, how we conduct ourselves. And so all of these things, these capacities that we have, are not things that we thank Hashem for. So let's go back. With that hakdama, Asher nasan lasech vivina. So we go to the Gemara, and the Gemara says, Kishama kol tarnagola, when a person hears the rooster, right? They didn't have alarm clocks, they had the roosters on the farm, and the rooster would wake them up in the morning. And when you hear the rooster, you say moda'ani, and after you say moda'ani, you say baruch asher nasan lasech vivina lahavchim ben yom vivin laila. And the Gemara continues. So you hear it, and then what's the next thing you do after you hear it? You open your eyes. And then you say the bracha of pokeach ivrim. And then you sit up. There's actually a study, fascinating study that was done. It says that our circulation, when we're lying flat in bed for hours, so our blood tends to even out across our bodies, and a person just jumps right out of bed, you feel a little disoriented, a little dizzy. It takes about 8 seconds for the blood, when you sit up, to be able to even itself out. I don't know what the medical term is. I remember seeing this about 5 or 6 years ago. If you say Mo Da'ani slowly, it's about 8 seconds. And so Mo Da'ani gives you, it's cute. It gives you, if you say it slowly, it gives you the ability to sit up and to be able to feel strong, and then you can start your day. So there's a difference between what we do in the Gemara, what we find in the Gemara, and what we actually do. The Gemara in Brachos doesn't outline all of them. We said before, the Gemara in Menachos brings the other three, and we need to understand next week why it is that the Gemara, that the Chazal saw fit to weave together Brachos from Meseches Brachos and Brachos that are found in Meseches Menachos, and how they relate to each other. But we'll leave that to the side for now. So why is it that things changed? We don't say these brachos step by step. Who says Asher Nasan Lasechi? Raise your hand. You do. As you wake up in the morning? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ask that whether you make the bracha. I meant when you hear your alarm clock in the morning, do you say Asher Nasan Lasechi? When you open your eyes, you say Pakayach Ivrim. And when you got dressed, you say Lo Malvish Arumim. Right? Why not? So the Torah tells us. Olifbi Seder HaGemara HaYoro Yilavarech Al Akol Achas VaAchas B'Shaita. That really, according to the Gemara, we should have said it step by step by step. The Gemara is very prescriptive and definite in how and when we're supposed to make these brachos. Why do we deviate? Well, if she'ein hayadayim nikios, tiknu l'sadron b'veis haknesses. It's a very practical answer. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about the bracha of al netilas yadayim. So if, either because our hands are tamei because we didn't have a neshama overnight, or because yadayim askanios, we're a beria chadasha or yadayim askanios, our hands touch parts of our body that are normally covered, and we don't know for sure what part it touched, and so that would require us to wash our hands before we make a bracha. So because of that, we can't make brachos right away. Our hands are tamei. We need to wash them first, and so therefore we can't go in order as the Gemara suggested. But it's not enough, right? What does that mean? Does that mean that in the time of the Gemara in Brachos that their Yadayim were not Askanios, or that it's a Machlokas Rishonim, or that they weren't a Beria Chadasha? How do you understand why it was okay in the time of the Gemara? So the Torah provides a second answer. The Torah says, V'gam, and also, furthermore, V'pnei she'rabim me'ameh ha'aratzos, she'en yodim osam tiknu she'yisadrim b'veis ha'kneses, v'yanu amin achareyem v'yatsu yudei chovasan. Right? The Torah is reflecting a reality. We spoke a couple of weeks ago also. The reason that we have this standardized text of the Siddur is because Jews became dispersed all over the diaspora and were not able to understand Hebrew as well as we should. And so therefore, at a certain point, we reached a very low level where we couldn't even say brachos. People were not educated enough. They were illiterate. They didn't have they weren't able to read it from a sitter. They weren't fluent in Hebrew anymore because they were surrounded by Goyim, Eino Yehudim. And so therefore, Einam Yodim they didn't even know the brachos, right? That which we, Baruch Hashem, today, most children of Orthodox homes know the brachos HaShachar at a pretty young age. Rachman HaLatzon, at that time, they didn't even know the brachos. So therefore, Chazal instituted a gzera that they instituted that we should make recite this bracha when we come to shul all together. And this way, one person for sure is going to know it, and everybody else will be able to answer Amen, and therefore they'll be able to fulfill their obligation through Shomea Ka'ona. They'll have in mind to be Yotzei, to fulfill their obligation through the person who's making the bracha, the Mevarich. They will have that Kavanah. The person who's making the bracha will have Kavanah to be Yotzei them. They'll answer Amen, and everybody will be able to fulfill their obligation together. In fact, there's Mishnah Berurah brings down that it's still a good idea that when you make brachos, unless it's at the time of the Baal Tevilah, it's always a good idea to be mezaka other people. This way other people can answer amen to your brachos. So that is the explanation of the Torah as to why we don't do it the way the Gemara suggested. Vaday chovahu, al kol yachad v'yachad levarich osad. But nonetheless, every single person is obligated to make the bracha on their own. So it doesn't mean that you should say it at home on your own. It means that when you come to shul, everybody's obligated. You shouldn't just rely on the bracha of the Shaliach Tzibur unless you absolutely have to, as we do on Shavuos, where we might not be obligated to recite Birchos HaShachar if we didn't take a nap in, you know, over the course of the evening. So the first bracha is Asher Nasan Lasech Vivina Lahamchin Ben Yom Avin Laila. From the Gemara, we think that we're thanking Hashem for giving the rooster, the intelligence to discern the difference between day and night. So Rashi says, what's a sechvi? What does this mean? It's a tarnagol, it's a rooster. De'ika duchta dekara le'tarnagol sechvi kedamrina b'rash Hashanah. So if we'd stop here, so maybe this bracha isn't so relevant anymore. When was the last time you woke up to a rooster? Maybe in camp?
In Israel.
In the middle of the night. Maybe it's not really the middle of the night. You have to say Pokei Achivrim and open your eyes.
At 4:30 in the morning, it does think it's morning.
Sometimes 4:30 in the morning is the time that dawn begins to crack. But do I thank Hashem for, you know, thunder and lightning, for seeing a rainbow if I don't actually see it right now? Nobody would say that I should make that bracha, even though I know Hashem has the power to make it rain, or lightning, or thunder, or an earthquake, or Yama Gadol, whatever, all of those brachos, we don't say those unless we encounter some opportunity, some experience with them. We hear the thunder, we see the rainbow. Here, we're thanking Hashem for giving the rooster its ability to discern between day and night, and we don't hear roosters. So I thank Hashem for creating Timex, for being able to make an alarm clock. So why are we thanking the rooster? So Tosis tells us, Kishama kol tarnagola amar barach shenasan lesech v'yina lahavchim b'nyom avin layla. V'hu adin afilu ki lo shama, even if you didn't hear, Tosis says, de'ein brachazu elo lahavchana al hanas ha'ora. The bracha is about our ability to benefit from light. So whether the rooster benefits from it or you benefit from it, it's conceptually on this idea that Hashem created darkness and He created light, and He gave us the ability to know when it's dark and when it's light and all the things that that means, and the creative capacity that we have when it's daytime and all the things that we can do that we couldn't do at night. Shatarnagol, because a rooster mavchin v'hunanem in ha'or. Because the rooster is able to differentiate, to discern the difference between day and night, and then it's able to benefit from it. So he's explaining still that we need to be able to benefit from it in some way. So we benefit from light. So even though we don't benefit from the rooster, we benefit from the same distinction that the rooster is able to make. So based on that, if I asked you, would a blind person still make the bracha of Asher Nasan Lasech Vivina? Most people shaking their heads yes, some people not sure. Right? A blind person benefits from other people who create a safe environment wherein they can operate and live comfortably. Even if they can't see, there's somebody who can help guide them down the steps or create a walking stick for them. So they do benefit from it. The brachos are on the fact that Hashem gave this ability to mankind, and not necessarily just because I'm benefiting from it, right? So if you lived in the North Pole, and there never is sunlight during certain parts of the year, would you say that they shouldn't make that bracha? They do. Because even though I don't see the light, I know that it's further down on the at the equator, for example, somewhere in America, somewhere in the world, there's always somebody who's able to benefit from it. There are other ways to understand the word sechvi. Rashi and Tosfos say that it's a rooster, as we saw before. But the Rosh has a different explanation. He says, Halev nikra sechvi, that the heart is called sechvi. So Hashem gives our hearts the ability to differentiate between day and night. As he quotes a pasuk in Eov, Mi nasan lasechvi vina v'halev hu amevin. So mi sheis betuchos chachma mi shenasan lasechvi vina. Who placed wisdom in the inward parts of man, or who gave the rooster understanding? That's one explanation. So, or you could say, Mi nasan lasechvi vina, who gave our heart the ability to understand. So the Rosh says that this understanding is in the heart. V'halev hu amevin v'al yidei habina. And in Aramaic, the tarnagol, the rooster, is called a sechvi. Hiskinu brachazula omra bishmias kola tarnagol. Umihu. So, what does this have to do with the heart? The Rush explains that since the sechvi also means rooster, and it's also able to differentiate between day and night, so when we have the ability to be thankful for also being able to differentiate the difference between the day and night, we do it at the same time that the rooster expresses its ability to discern between day and night. So the Gemara, the Rosh, kind of reinterprets the Gemara, and we see that they're fairly similar. It concludes, Mihihu mein lo shama kol atarnagol, right? If a person didn't hear the rooster or didn't see between day and night, Yachol avarech bracha zu she'ena ela hoda l'makom. What is the bracha about? It's thanking Hashem, shenasan lanu bina, that Hashem gave us this wisdom, the havana, and understanding, ubara lanu kol tzarkenu. And he created for us all of our needs. Da'afim yashen, even if a person's sleeping, adam b'bayis, a felon, he's sleeping in a dark room, as we all hope to do, because that is the best way to sleep. Yavchin bias hayom al yidei kol atarnagol. At a certain point, you realize the rooster is crowing, it's time to wake up, and Hashem gave me the ability to do that. So, it's interesting to note that just as this is the very first bracha of Berchos HaShachar, the ability to understand things, to make sense of Hashem's world, so what's the very first bakasha that we ask of Hashem in Shemona Esrei? We have Avos, Gevuros, Kedusha. What's the first one? Atachonin la'adam das. We ask Hashem for knowledge, for wisdom. Because we know that without that wisdom, we're not going to be able to be thankful. We're not, in addition to not being able to accomplish and achieve our goals that day, we also won't be able to realize that there's a creator in this world and all the wonderful things that Hashem has done for us. That requires bina, that requires wisdom and chachma. The Baruch Sha'amar, the Aruch HaShulchan, Baruch Halevi Epstein, asks, why do we begin our Brichos Ha'odah by looking to the rooster? Right, of all the things in the world, why don't we just say, thank you, Hashem, for giving me the opportunity to discern between day and night. I know when to wake up. Certainly, this shul, when they know exactly when to wake up and exactly when to start and when sunrise is going to be. Why do we have to go to a rooster? Of all other animals probably also know the difference between day and night. So the answer is that the Gemara in Erevin tells us that we can learn a lot from animals. There are lots of different midos. The Gemara says that even if we wouldn't have had received the Torah, we'd still be able to learn things just by observing our surroundings. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara said, the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Kuf Am Nebezi, El Malei Lo Nitna Torah, had Hashem not given us the Torah, still, Hainu Lemeidin Snias Michatul, we'd still be able to learn modesty from a cat, the Gezel Minamala, and the prohibition or the bad midah of stealing, of theft from an ant. The ants are always very careful to pile what they have, but they're careful not to steal from other, they don't go looking around to steal from other anthills. And illicit relationships from a dove. So the Baruch Shamar asks, how can we keep today here? We know that it's going to be in, actually it's not so far away, it's only 10 hours and 50 minutes is Netzach Hama. So how do we know that that's going to be Netzach Hama when somewhere else, a couple of hours ahead of us on in the world, it's already time for Mincha? And if you go to New Zealand, it's already time for Maariv. If not, they're almost ready for Shacharis on the next day. So he says that if we look at animals, and specifically the rooster, right, since the rooster crows when day breaks, so that assures us that it's daytime here. Right? The Gemara, Hashem gave us the ability to learn certain things from our surroundings. So even if the Torah wouldn't have given me the prohibition of theft, I'd still know it just by looking at ants. And so I know that it's this day because the rooster is starting to crow, and I'm able to look and learn things from the world around me. So just like the rooster begins a day with crowing, and we know that it's a new day, that's how we know, I know with certainty that it's now time for me to start my day. Rav Schwab, and with this we'll conclude, he points out that this concept actually happens twice a day. A time when day fades into night, and night fades into day, it requires a certain level of chachma, of wisdom, to be able to know when is it day and when is it night. There are halachic, many, many halachic implications. When can you be, you know, start to make kiddush on Shabbos? When can you eat matzah on Pesach? When can you put on tefillin in the morning and daven shachris and say Shema? Lots of implications. When is a baby going to have the bris? Is it this day or is it that day? So that requires chachma. And that requires chachma on both ends, both in the morning and in the evening. So why is it that Chazal instituted the bracha of Asher Nasan Lasech Vivina Lahavchin Bein Yom Uvein Laila specifically in the morning? It should be just as relevant in the nighttime. So Rabbi Schwab says that the emotions evoked by the impending change are completely different in the morning and in the evening. In the early morning, as day breaks, we have a wonderful feeling of anticipating the beginning of a new day. We look forward to it with happy expectancy, right? The potential of what the day can bring, what we can achieve, we don't even know. We think we have a to-do list, or we think we have appointments scheduled, and that's what we're going to do that day. But maybe at some point, there's this, you know, some change in our schedule, there's an opportunity that presents itself, and all of a sudden, it's even better than we thought it would be. That is the excitement that with which we approach the day. It's for this emotion, this pleasant, hopeful optimism, which the crowing of the rooster evokes in our hearts, and for that we give thanks. However, in the evening when the day is done, with impending nightfall, there's no such emotion evoked. On the contrary, it could be somewhat depressing. Right? Our day is done. We know that our bodies are beginning to feel fatigued. We need to rest. We don't have as much energy. There might be things left on our to-do list that we weren't able to accomplish, things that we hoped for that we didn't achieve. And so for that, we feel a little bit sad, despondent. We don't have that optimism because our energy levels and the ability to do things at night is limited. On the contrary, it could be somewhat depressing. And so we wait once again for the opportunity to make a new bracha at the break of tomorrow's dawn. And so we look forward when we have that morning, when we have that opportunity. So again, as bad as yesterday might have been, right, there's the physical part of it, and there's the spiritual. Hashem gave me my neshama. I'm thankful for the opportunity, the confidence, Rabba Emuna Secha, that he has a lot of emuna in me and my ability to achieve things, and my tafkid is different from yours. All of those things come together in the morning in a way that they don't come together in the evening. And so it's more appropriate, rather than saying this bracha of Asher Nasan Lasech Vivina either right after Aleinu at Mincha or maybe right before Maariv, right, we say the Shacharis, because Shacharis is the time that we really feel it the most in a positive way. Yes?
I found that most of these brachas have double entendres, or you know, more than one way of looking at them. And this particular one reminds me of an anecdote where a child had gone off the derech, and his parents took him, I forget to which rav, and kid was scared, you know, what's the rav going to tell me to do and yell at me and all that. And all the rav told him to do was just to say this one bracha.
Right.
So it's not just light and dark, but right, good and bad.
choices. It's about, once you have chachma, Rav Soloveitchik talks about Asher Nasan Lasech Vivina. I don't know why, this wasn't in my notes, but I remember in preparing the shir, so thank you for reminding me. He talks about the concept of Havdalah. Right, it's the same chachma of bina, of light and dark, ben Yisrael la'amim, ben Yom Hashvi l'sheisha simei hamaaseh. That is something. The reason that we make this bracha is because it's not just light and dark, but that light, that ability to discern the difference between day and night, gives us, you know, opens up all types of horizons of being able to be mekadesh ourselves, of thanking Hashem for. That's why Shelo Asani Goy follows after us, Shelo Asani Isha, because now that we have the Chachma, now that we know that we can differentiate between one thing and another, so we differentiate ourselves for the purposes of Kedusha, of holiness. And so we're making that cognizant choice, as you're referring to in that story. The point is that I have the power to make good decisions for myself. And some of those decisions could be, you know, about day and night, and now it's time to daven, and now it's time to make Havdalah. But there are also many choices that we have the opportunity to make on a daily basis. And this bracha, in a al pi drush perhaps, right, is that we always have that choice of good and bad, and light and dark. And it's as basic as, you know, I tell my children every day, you even if people around you are doing something wrong, you always have the choice to do something better, to make a better choice for yourself. And so even if yesterday we made poor choices, today we have a new day, and we greet it with that optimism. And Hashem gave me another opportunity, and I have the choice to make. You want to say something? Okay.